I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Something is rotten in the state of Britain. A tale of two princesses, one of them black, one of them white, both of them on the rough end of establishment treating. And we'll be talking with the man, the news outlet, Unity News Network, which is speculating that Kate may be in danger of some harm. But you know, we are asking in this poll this evening, is Kate the new Diana? Why should you care? I'll explain all in the course of this, the mother of all talk shows. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the Mother of All Talk Shows podcast with George Galloway.
That something is rotten in the state of Britain is probably the statement of the bleeding obvious that I have ever made. It's rotten from top right down to the toe, a gangrenous toe, if you'll forgive me. We are in a very parlous state in the United Kingdom. All of our institutions are hollowed out from the collapse in trust in the police service, the collapse in the standard of justice evident in the treatment of Julian Assange, the collapse in anything remotely resembling a free and independent media in this country, the collapse in the caliber of Parliament, about which more later. Where once upon a time, when I first entered the House of Commons 37 years ago, there were 100 or more men and women of independent mind, of stature, who when they rose, no one could predict exactly what they were going to say, but everyone stayed in their place in order to hear it. Compare and contrast with the political dwarves sitting all around me in the British Parliament today, most of whom I simply have never seen or heard of before. Compare the great speakers of the House of Commons that I have sat under. Sir Bernard Wetherill, Dame Betty Boothroyd, even little Berkow with the, well, Calamity Jane figure of Lindsay Hoyle, who was out today in all his miserable lack of pomp. He managed to allow a race row that has brewed and broken in Britain, in which the Conservative Party's biggest donor, who donated £10 million to the British Conservative Party, and in return, yes, in return, got £122 million of contracts with Britain's National Health Service, was recorded saying that the Labour Member of Parliament, Diane Abbott, should be shot, and that when he looks at her, he begins to hate all black women. Now, in today's era of political correctness, you just can't say things like that. Especially if you're the government party's biggest financial donor, especially if you hold the gong order of the British Empire, especially if you are influential at the very top ranks of the British government. This is a racist and misogynistic piece of hate speech, as was widely recognised in the House of Commons today. The leader of the opposition, no less, no more, Sir Keir Starmer, thought the story so important that he donated half of his questions to the Prime Minister, to this scandalous misogynoir against his one-time parliamentary colleague, Diane Abbott. The Prime Minister replied several times how completely unacceptable these remarks were, though not so unacceptable that he was minded to hand back the £10 million donation. The man had said sorry, he said, and remorse, where genuine, should always be accepted. Although I could give you many hundreds of examples where remorse, like Shamima Begum, she defected to ISIS, became an ISIS bride, was groomed as a young schoolgirl. She's deeply remorseful about having done it now. But the British government, Rishi Sunak's British government, actually ripped up her passport and deported her effectively to Bangladesh because her grandparents came from there. A good example where remorse is simply not enough. This multi-millionaire Conservative donor should have been called before the bar of the House and should have, on his knees, bathed the feet of Diane Abbott. But he's out, off, scot-free. Nothing will ever be said or done against him, least of all will his £122 million contract with Britain's National Health Service be rescinded. But why am I dwelling on this point? The Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition exchanged at least six questions and answers on the case of Diane Abbott. She was then spoken about by the Leader of the Scottish National Party, a fellow called Flynn, I think. He also donated two of his parliamentary questions to this foul, racially and gender-related smear against a long-standing member of the House of Commons, and the Prime Minister had to answer them in the same terms that he had answered the Leader of the Opposition. Everyone in the room was talking about her as if she wasn't there. But she was there, resplendent in a red jacket, just a few yards along the back bench from me. And as I was rising every time to be called myself, I could see with my right eye that Diane Abbott was rising to be called also. Unbelievably, the Speaker of the House of Commons did not call her to speak, even though everybody else was speaking only about her. Compounding insult added to injury. You're talking about a race row. The black woman who's been attacked is there and trying to speak and is not called. Now, at the time, I was thinking, how is the Speaker possibly going to justify not allowing a woman that everyone else is talking about to speak for herself? I knew he'd have difficulty. I didn't know he'd make such a poor job of defending it after the fact. He said they ran out of time. Except they didn't run out of time. Prime Minister's questions is supposed to last 30 minutes. Today it lasted for 38 minutes. And he still didn't call the woman of the moment. Now, look, I called her a princess earlier. She is kind of a left-wing black princess. She was one of only 17 black Cambridge University graduates in the whole of the 1970s. She was one of the only women to graduate from Cambridge from a black West Indian minority ethnic background. All of it worthy of some respect, I should have said. and she became Britain's first black woman member of parliament. She entered history as Britain's first ever black woman member of parliament, worthy of some respect, worthy of being called to ask a question, at least at Prime Minister's questions, about herself. But no, not only did the Speaker not call her, the leader of the opposition mercilessly exploited this race row for his own party political purposes without referring to the fact that he himself has suspended Diane Abbott from the Parliamentary Labour Party, with only months at best away from a general election in which she will not be allowed to stand as a Labour candidate after nearly 40 years on the House of Commons benches as a Labour MP. The reason why he suspended her? Some letter she wrote to an obscure British newspaper, which, having looked at it, I can't even begin to imagine what was exceptionable about it. Certainly nothing as exceptionable as what has now, and indeed throughout her parliamentary career, been said about her. She's haughty. She's imperious. She's grand. She's a grand dame. And whilst some might find that difficult, I personally kiss her hand. And the idea that this black woman should be spoken about by this William Zanzinger in this multi-millionaire scandal is utterly repugnant and speaks to the way that the ruling British elite really feel about women, really feel about black people, really feel about black women in particular. Now, there's another princess in the news, or rather not in the news. I'm old enough to remember what happened with Lady Di, Lady Diana, Princess Diana, how she was cheated on by her husband, now the King of the United Kingdom and whatever remaining parts of the Commonwealth recognize him as their head of state, as their monarch. I'm old enough to have watched in real time how she was treated by this British royal family, the Windsors. I watched The Crown on Netflix. It was like the story of my lifetime, almost exactly coterminous with my lifetime. I watched it with great interest. And I know how the Windsors treat the wives, and in the case of Princess Margaret, the putative husband, Group Captain Peter Townsend. I know how they behave. I know the medieval brutishness with which they respond to wives that have fallen out of favor. Think Henry the Eighth. Now, I'm sure that something rotten is going on inside Buckingham Palace, inside Windsor Castle, inside Sandringham. I'm absolutely sure that there's something we are not being told about the health of the head of state. If he was just an ordinary guy, it would be none of my business. But why don't we know what kind of cancer the head of state of Britain has? Because then we might be able to evaluate whether he's going to last another 6 weeks or could last another 6, 10, 16, 20 years. We have a right to know that. He's the head of state, albeit an utterly unelected one. I want to know what's happened to the next queen of the United Kingdom and the mother of the next but one king of the United Kingdom. I have a right to know. Not only am I a subject because that's what we are called, folks, is subject of these people. Not only do we have to pay a king's ransom for these people in order for them to rule over us, but I'm an elected member of King Charles's Parliament. It's actually called his Parliament. If I don't swear allegiance to him, I will not be allowed to sit down in the Parliament, even if everybody in Rochdale had voted for me. Most people did. A crushing majority of people did. But even if everybody had, I would not be allowed to sit down unless I pledged allegiance, not only to him, but his heirs and his successors. But who are to be his heirs and his successors? What's happened to Kate? It's almost 80 days since she was seen in public. Such was the mounting concern about that in the country that they eventually published a photograph for Mother's Day of the aforementioned Princess Kate, looking marvelous, I must say, for a woman off sick after an abdominal operation, wearing tight jeans. I thought, my goodness, she's recovered well. Except by the evening, all of the major news agencies issued a kill notice. I hope that's not hostage to fortune. A kill notice, killing their circulation of this photograph. Why? Because it had been faked, fabricated, photoshopped. Now, they haven't told us which parts of the picture were photoshopped, but it's a fair guess that it was Kate that was photoshopped. Perhaps she's not looking that well. Perhaps she wasn't even there. I'm demanding habeas corpus. Produce the body. Proof of life. We need to know, have a right to know, if the Princess of Wales is alive. Is she well? What happened to her? Did she try to harm herself? Did somebody else try to harm her? What are they covering up inside the British elite? The British elite is rotten to the core. And this growing royal scandal, where they cannot produce, never mind the body, even a picture. In nearly 80 days, not one picture. This is a woman who, when she gave birth three times, came out to a barrage of press photographers within hours of having given birth and gone through labor. Nearly 80 days, not even one single picture. So when Press Association and Reuters and all the others issued their kill notice, they knew they were in trouble, so they presumably forced her, from her sick bed to say, actually, it was all her fault. She's an amateur photo editor. And if you believe that, I've got a bridge here in London that I can sell you going cheap. She took the blame for the production of a fake photograph that was on its way to being published all over the world, except it was a fake. So they produced a second picture purporting to be her in a car with William, except she was looking the other way in the dark, and no one could claim that they knew that it was her in that picture. Might have been somebody else. And there is a somebody else. We can infer from all the coverage that, like father, like son, William's been cheating on his beautiful wife for a definitely less beautiful alternative, just as Charles was cheating on his beautiful wife with a very definitely inferior model. She was at the Cheltenham horse racing today. She fitted in really well, if you get my drift. The third picture that they produced was so riven with glaring, obvious error that too has now been accepted as being a fake. So we now have a situation where the heir to the throne has a wife, the mother of the next heir to the throne, who's gone missing. And no one in the royal family will explain what's going on. One man, David Clues, one outfit, Unity Network News, frequently reviled as conspiracy theorists until their conspiracy theories turn out to be true. They've been right ahead of the pack on this. They're the horse in front. And David Clues comes up right now here on the Mother of All Talk Shows.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are listening to the Mother of All Talk Shows podcast with George Galloway.
So is Princess Kate the new Diana? Yes or no? You can answer on my Telegram channel, t.me/George Galloway, on my Twitter account, on the YouTube community poll, or on the YouTube stream. And if you're watching on the YouTube stream, please share with all of your contacts, all of your followers and friends. Ditto on Facebook or any other platform that you are watching on that allows that facility. So at the moment, most people, overwhelmingly actually, say no. We'll see if they feel the same after this interview with David Clues, who is the lead correspondent for Unity Network News, who joins me now. David, welcome to the Mother of All Talk Shows. I adumbrated earlier in my monologue some of the causes for concern. Maybe you can summarize your causes for concern on the question of where is Princess Kate and what's happened to her?
Well, I think you certainly are on fire tonight. And do I have to doff my cap now to you? Is it the right honourable gentleman, Mr. Galloway, do we have to refer to you as now?
No. Just call me George, David.
Call me George. Well, congratulations, firstly, on an outstanding victory in Rochdale. And that really was another thing that has set the cat amongst the pigeons in the British establishment. And I think the way you've introduced it tonight is very right. And at the moment, people are looking at this, I think, quite flippantly with what is going on with Kate and not fully appreciating the gravity of the situation, that the royal family are incapable of providing clear evidence that the heir to the throne is still alive. And they have put out a huge... I have never seen anything... Well, I have. March 2020, it was a huge bombardment of information. February 22, October the 7th, and now to basically say to people, oh, well, just Kate will be fine. She'll be back anytime soon. And this isn't really important. This, in my opinion, is absolutely huge. As you pointed out, they've released three photos and all of them have been completely debunked. Therefore, at this stage, where is she? And this might sound very dramatic, but it's not. There is a very high risk that she may be dead, because they've not provided evidence that she's still alive. And we're now into Wednesday. This erupted on Sunday when they released that photo. That is three clear days, and they have done nothing to address the speculation. So, as I say, I think there is three potential reasons for that. Firstly, she's dead. Secondly, she's in some sort of coma-type state, or she is incapable of speaking. Or thirdly, which may be a bit more palatable to people, she's down tools. She's on a walkout. She's on a wildcat strike. She said to William, "I'm not doing anything anymore." Then that then leads to the question, well, why would she be doing that? Why would she be refusing to do any media work?
Well, let's pray that it is the third of those options, although the third option is serious enough for the existence of the monarchy. For the avoidance of doubt, David, I'm a Republican. I don't support the idea of monarchy. Indeed, I think it is ludicrous that in the 21st century we have unelected heads of state chosen from a frankly long dysfunctional family group and gene pool. But leave that aside. If we're going to have a monarchy, they have rights and responsibilities. So have we rights and responsibilities. I have to pledge allegiance to them, even to sit as an elected member of the British Parliament. So I'm entitled to ask, where is she? How is she? Let's, though, because we don't want to be morbid, concentrate on your third option, that she's downed tools. Speculate for me. What might be the reasons for that?
Well, and I put this out quite flippantly. If you were a person who lived their lives, say, on benefits or were actively seeking work and you weren't turning up for your appointments, the benefits office would be quite allowed to ask why not. And there are no bigger scroungers, of course, than the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas. The third option that she has decided to down tools, and again, like a lot of people say, well, we shouldn't really be speculating about this. And I really push back on that, George. And well, I'll tell you why. These people need to be brought down a peg or two, because they are not above being spoken about. They're not divinely ordained. They are just like you and me. Just because they have fancy titles and just because they live in castles doesn't make them better than anybody else. And trust me, you're being told not to speculate on them and that it's unfair. They and their ilk have sent tens of millions of working class Britons to their deaths over the centuries with total disregard for life. So I have no sympathy at all with them and the speculation and everything that's taken place. On the third point, the rumour is that Prince William has had an affair. I believe it's with the Marquess of Cholmondeley, Marchioness, sorry, of Cholmondeley, a lady who goes by the name of Rose Hanbury, and he's had some form of affair. And again, look, it's all speculation, but that has been reported extensively in the Spanish media. It's also been put extensively in American media as well, that is a cause of it. And this doesn't come as a surprise. Again, this is the point I try and get across. Most people are decent. We are not dealing with decent people. We are dealing with people who have stolen the vast majority of wealth that they have over the decades. They have then awarded themselves titles, as Tony Benn famously pointed out about them, and then reign over you. And this is, again, what people need to get their head in. These aren't people dealing with sums in the tens of thousands, millions, hundreds of millions. We're talking about people managing things worth billions. Then above them, trillions. The governments run budgets of trillions. the amount of power that is involved in maintaining that, again, I think it's just beyond the cognizance of most people. And they will do everything that they can to maintain that power. So there's so much speculation. And I think we have to go back again to when this all started, George. And it did start a few weeks back when you had the death of Jacob Rothschild that was announced. And again, people will say, well, what's that got to do with it? Well, if you do a wee bit of research, you know that the Rothschild family have been intimately involved with the House of Windsor and the British establishment for hundreds of years. They've financed many wars. Of course, the Balfour Declaration with the State of Israel was sent to Lord Rothschild. So he supposedly died aged 87. Then on the Tuesday, you had William mysteriously pull out of the ceremony, remembering the death of King Constantine. And then the days are a wee bit mixed up. We don't know. You had the suicide of Thomas Kingston, who was Prince Michael of Kent's son. By all accounts, a highly successful individual, wife, family, money that most people could dream of. He went to his parents' house in the Cotswolds, had a spot of lunch, and his father then took the dogs out for the walk. His father came back, couldn't find his son, came across a locked farmhouse, and his son was found with a traumatic head wound, which they are saying was a shotgun wound to the head and a shotgun next to him. I'm sorry, but and then all this stuff with Kate, this is not a coincidence. There's something going on. It's obviously, it's very hard to pinpoint exactly, but there's something big happening.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let me take you back a bit. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree and all that. If William had this affair with Cholmondeley, then he would be acting as exactly as his father did, and indeed as royals and the rapacious aristocracy have done for centuries. Would that in itself be enough for Kate to down tools, come out on a wildcat strike?
I think there's maybe something a bit more to it than that. As I said, the cover story that's been put out is that she was getting some form of stomach surgery. I mean, again, there is a lot of rumours, unsubstantiated, of pregnancies, of abortions, of who was the father. Again, though, people are just like, oh, this is just nonsense. The royals have been doing this for hundreds of years. They used to have loads of illegitimate children. And the royals used to go around murdering people. I mean, do people honestly think they've stopped doing that? Do you think they've just woken up one day and said, oh no, we're going to be civilized now? You know, they fundamentally see themselves as being of a higher caste and the rest. So I just say that I think the darkest thoughts that we can have. I also put this out the other day to people saying, oh, this is just ridiculous. Well, if I'd said that, you know, 30 years ago, that see this man that everybody says is fixing it for everybody and he's friends with the royals, he's friends with everyone, and this man has a pass to a hospital and he's sexually abusing dead bodies, people would have said, well, I mean, that's a bit of a stretch too far. And that turned out to be true. The same as Jeffrey Epstein as well. Like you said that at the start about conspiracy theories come conspiracy facts, that this guy was operating an international child sex trafficking blackmail plot on behalf of Mossad. People would be like, geez, this guy's lost it. It's true. And I just think where we are now in 2024, when so much of this has come out to the public, when so much of this is out there, that people are just now thinking anything is possible after all these series of events.
Yeah, I mean, if they establish, let's say that some, God forbid, terrible harm has befallen her, and they simply are not telling us what and how. I mean, they can't keep that up forever. I mean, even you're right to say the Spanish media, the American media now, American mainstream television, is talking about this affair, this weird set of circumstances. It's only the tame British establishment media that won't give this story an airing at all and will call people like you and tomorrow people like me conspiracy theorists for even speculating about it. But they'll not be able to keep that up for long, David. What might be the game plan on the establishment?
It's funny, the thing that just popped into my head and it is about the royals and who knows what goes on. The theory, you'll know this about Lord Mountbatten, was blown up when he was on a boat, when he was in the Republic of Ireland. The story that really does the rounds now was that was actually the British security services that did that because they knew about Mountbatten's paedophilia. I mean, that is really come out now. So, like, the British regime doesn't work. There are factions within the wider British regime. There will be some people that don't like William. They don't like Kate. They maybe don't like Charles. They're maybe using each other. Who knows how this is going to play out? But I don't think you should underestimate. This could be the end of the royal family. And the fact that the Prince William is even said that he doesn't want to be head of the Church of England. Well, how can you have a royal family who's not the head of the Church of England? And I know this doesn't matter to most people nowadays. It's considered far away, but that is a fundamental part of how the system's run. It would lead to the disestablishment of the Church of England from the royal family. I think this could all move very, very quickly. I mean, one of this crazy situations is you've got Prince Charles, who's not being seen. That's the other thing. I forgot to even mention that as well. You had Charles and his cancer diagnosis as well. That started all this off. And then you've got this ludicrous situation.
I don't think, you know, it's not that we're prying here, David. I don't want to see his x-rays. I think I have a right to know whether the head of state has a cancer that gives him a chance of lasting the next 6 weeks or the next 6 years. I think I've got a right to know that, don't you?
Well, yes, because he is, as you correctly pointed out, he is the head of state. You know, you look at America, they get their medicals done. I mean, I know a lot of that's fudged, but you have a right and you have a right to ask questions. And the British media is covering up for this. You look at the headlines, the tabloids and the Sun, etc. They don't want people asking questions. They obviously know something is taking place because the monarchy really does represent a linchpin of the British establishment. And if that goes, then a lot of dominoes could fall very, 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 very quickly. And the problem for the monarchy is a fundamentally small C conservative institution, yet it's trying to appeal to, obviously Britain is very different now from what Britain was 40, 50 years ago. And I don't know how they do that. And especially when they want to maintain their powers and privileges. And the only thing I will say, George, is I've got that building in the back. All I ask for is the East Wing come the revolution. Okay. And Windsor Castle and I don't know what else part of it you would like. And we'll be burning we'll be burning the furniture for firewood, I'm sure.
Now look, David, I've got to reiterate, these are just rumors about William and this lady Cholmondeley. Of course, the palace has said that Kate is recovering from abdominal surgery. And, of course, we all hope that that's true. But if she's recovering from abdominal surgery, why put out a photograph, which you were the first I saw, to unmask as a fake? Why out a family picture that wasn't actually their family on Mother's Day?
I think we were one of the first to call it as fake. The first thing I noticed was she was wearing skinny jeans and she's supposed to have had abdominal surgery. I mean, there is another thing about that photo. The photo was, after simple inspection, blatantly photoshopped. And thing is, it wasn't just slightly edited. It was completely fake. people were going to realize it was fake. So why again would they do that? And this is the other thing as well. It's strange. And if you looked at it, all the children in the photo had their fingers crossed. Now, people, oh, you're just reading into things. No, symbolism is very, very important with these things. It was obviously going to get found out that it was, and it wasn't just, and it was interesting. They say that Kate then apologized the next day for touching up the photos. No, she didn't. Kensington Palace issued a statement on behalf of Kate Middleton. We don't know whether she said that at all. As I point out, no one has heard from her or seen her in public since the 25th of December. That is 79 days. That's a long time. And that photo just was... And then it was, as you said, the one the day after, them leaving Windsor Castle. And it's a person, it's the side of her head looking out a window. And that was again made up. I mean, this is just... It's absolutely crazy.
Well, I suppose we'll have to follow the Spanish press to find out what's happening within the head of state's family in Great Britain. That has come to something. David Clues, Unity Network News, more power to your elbow, and may everyone follow you. Now, thanks for that feast of speculation, which may turn out to be fact. Is Princess Kate the new Diana? Yes or no? Get voting now. By the way, 3.1 million people watched the Mother of All Talk Shows last week. Last week, 3.1 million people. But our podcast is going through the roof. It's number one in Bahrain on Apple Podcasts. It's number two in Croatia and number five in Guatemala, which is, of course, neither of Croatia nor Guatemala are particularly full of English speakers. And it's number five also in Cyprus.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are listening to the Mother of All Talk Shows podcast with George Galloway.
Kim Iverson's one of my favorite American broadcasters. I'm so glad that she's joining us again this evening. Kim, welcome back on the Mother of All Talk Shows. Can I trouble you to comment on the British royal family? I do for this reason only, because I'm sure it's not top of your agenda, but you actually are quite likely to know more about what's going on than we can, because we have basically a blanket covering the truth, a blanket covering accurate information or any information at all. What are you hearing, reading, seeing about this subject in the US media?
Of Kate Middleton, that she's just disappeared, that nobody knows where she is, that the latest photoshopped photoshopped photograph. I mean, that's what we're getting. We're getting is that there was a photoshopped photograph. She had surgery, right? And then she hadn't been seen from. And then there was this photoshopped thing, the photoshopped picture. You know, I don't know. I have to admit that I love following the royal family. It's like my guilty pleasure. But who knows what's going on? I mean, there's no, some people have said, oh, she's run off. You know, she's like defected to Russia or something, you know, some stupid theories. But otherwise, I have no idea what is going on with that whole thing, except we saw her writing with her mom.
I wondered when, except it may not have been her in that picture. It certainly didn't look like her. Now, of course, we don't know what the impact of surgery has on someone's physiognomy, but it's quite odd that no verifiable picture has been produced in 79 days. since we
right.
last
That's not the picture, by the way, that they're showing. I don't think that's the photograph. There's a picture of her with her mom.
No.
And I think she's in the front seat. Isn't that the one that they said, oh, she's been spotted?
Except it's widely believed that that isn't her either. But let's not get bogged down on Picturegate. I'm just, you know, I was wondering when Russia would finally get mentioned in the context of this disappearing Princess Kate, and Putin would get the blame. I didn't expect it to be on my own show, but yeah, if she's run away anywhere, I must hope. Yeah, or from you. I must hope if she has run away, that she's run away to a family values type place like Russia. Kim, you've got your own royal family, the Biden crime family. How are they faring these days? Whatever happened to Hunter Biden? And how is Joe doing?
Well, Joe is to be expected for somebody who is suffering from some mental, you know, loss and mental decline. Although interestingly, during the State of the Union address, he seemed really spunky, like maybe Hunter is around and Hunter maybe spiked his coffee with something, because Joe was very animated. I was very surprised by the State of the Union address and how animated Joe Biden was. You know, there, look, it's just right now it's the same as it's always been, which is that there is a group of people who, and rightfully, I think, are trying to get to the bottom of whether or not there's some corruption with Joe Biden and Ukraine and, you know, his foreign entanglements. How did somebody who has served in the public, and, you know, as somebody who's been serving in government for a long time, there shouldn't be a lot of money in it. And yet Joe Biden is very wealthy.
No,
his family is very wealthy. You don't get rich. Well, he certainly
has. Yeah, you don't
get
rich,
and so is his family.
From being an elected politician, I can assure you of that. But the Bidens have got very rich indeed.
Yeah, very rich, very rich. So, there's still a lot of questions around that. I'm not sure how deep anyone in our politics really want to go. I think they want to go far enough to just ensure that Biden doesn't win another election. But I don't believe that our political leaders are actually going to go after him and actually dig up real crime, because then the finger eventually goes back on them as well. There's so many that are corrupt in our political system on both sides of the aisle. They don't want us to really snuff it out. They just want enough to ensure that Joe Biden is looked at in a negative light by the population so that they would, just kind of to edge him out in the upcoming election that's happening this November.
I did an interview earlier this evening with my old friend Rick Sanchez and I heard him say, he was talking before he came to me, about Biden's poll numbers. They have plummeted again. It's inconceivable that this mentally challenged old man could win another 4-year term, is it?
Well, I think it is inconceivable if the voters actually have a say, but anything's possible if you're going to work around the voters in some crafty, clever, creative ways, then anything's possible. But yeah, he's extremely, extremely unpopular. And I think what voters are starting to realize now is that he's not worse than Donald Trump. People were, when they voted for him the first time to try to defeat Donald Trump, I think a lot of those people feel like, what was the point of that? We're in a worse spot now than we were with Donald Trump. So just go back to the guy that maybe he's, on Twitter, he's says a lot of stuff. Maybe he's crass in the things that he says, and he's definitely not politically correct, but we were in a much better position with Donald Trump as president. And I think they're also seeing the very things that they really went after Donald Trump for, the border and racism and war. They're seeing that Joe Biden is worse on all of those points. So, I think a lot of people who were independent who voted for Donald Trump, who voted for Biden, they're not buying that this time around. So, yeah, his poll numbers are terrible. There is no real there's no conceivable way he can win unless they rig it, which they might.
Yeah, I imagine that it's come to this, that we can, with equanimity, exchange the possibilities that he might win it if they rig it. They might win it if they knock the Republican Party's candidate off the ballot. Imagine.
Right.
Like a banana republic. The banning of the major rival candidate, the kind of thing that would get you invaded by the United States in Latin America. It's come to something that we have to worry whether Donald Trump will be terminated with extreme prejudice. What kind of democracy is this?
Well, maybe it's not one. Maybe it's not one. Maybe we've just been told that it is one. Certainly, a lot of the things that we've been told in by our political class, by our media, by the gaslighting have panned out to not be true. I mean, when we look at all of our foreign policy decisions, all of this supposedly to free people, save lives. Could you imagine the saying that with a straight face? And spreading, we're doing all of these things to save the world, to spread democracy, to save lives. And yet all of that is panning out to be untrue. There's just more truths coming out about our political leaders, about our elites, about our government, that a lot of Americans who really believed that we lived in the best country in the world, because we've been taught that since we were born, that we were lucky to be born in the United States of America. Many, I think, are now starting to say, my government has lied to me my entire life. What other lies have they told us? And I think a lot of people are starting to feel like the facade of democracy is one of those things, that they really ultimately just put into power who they want in power, and they'll do anything to ensure that the people who they don't want in power don't get into power. Donald Trump, I think, is the closest he's a person that's been able to buck all of that and defy them no matter what. And I think that obviously is very aggravating to them, because they're doing everything they possibly can to ensure that he doesn't end up in the White House. And there's just one more move for them to make, and I'm afraid they'll make it, where they just make it to where he really cannot, because he's not around.
Yeah. If I were him, I'd hire a group of retired Russian Spetsnaz security, probably the best available. I'm thinking of doing it myself, because the British are not going to protect me. One thing that is new this week, Kim, is that Joe Biden has begun to turn on, or at least wants us to believe he's turned on, his former BFF, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're asked to believe that he was secretly overheard telling a group of people at the end of the State of the Union that he's going to have a come-to-Jesus moment with Netanyahu. A very odd choice of words indeed. But is it true? Is he turning against Netanyahu? Or does he realize that he's lost so much ground as a result of having supported Netanyahu to the extent that he has? Which is it?
He's certainly not turning on Netanyahu. It is just rhetoric. He realizes that his numbers are down. He realizes that the voting base is not in support of what the political class wants, which is supporting Israel endlessly without any restraints on them whatsoever. And so he's just saying things in order to try to please the voting base. But nothing. And if you listen to what even Netanyahu said on Monday, so you have Joe Biden on the State of the Union having this hot mic saying, come to Jesus moment with Netanyahu. And then Netanyahu comes out Monday going around in various different interviews and making it very clear that Joe Biden is a friend and that of his and that he's happy with the support that the Biden administration has given him. So Netanyahu's not upset. He's not thinking that the U.S. government, when has Netanyahu ever said, do more for us? He's never needed to say that, because we're doing everything they ask. So as long, he doesn't care. What does Netanyahu care if Joe Biden makes a comment in the press or says something here and there just for show? He ultimately gets what he wants. And behind closed doors, that's probably the conversation he has really, truly with people in the administration, which is, well, you're getting what you want, so it doesn't matter what the politicians say for political reasons.
Yeah, quite extraordinary. And there's no sign of him coming to Jesus yet. The outcome of the November election, of course, remains to be seen. But the one thing you can be sure of is that the losers of the American election will be the ordinary Joe and Joanne in the United States. We keep hearing from Biden that the American economy is doing well, but it doesn't look like that to me. How does it feel to you, Kim?
Well, certainly it doesn't. The grocery prices, the gas price, everything's very high here right now. So it doesn't feel like the economy is booming. People are, there's just a lot of struggling going on. We see endless homelessness in this country, yet we're signing checks away to all these other foreign countries. So, you know, there's this idea that the economy is booming, but people are working many jobs to make ends meet. You know, the gig economy is strong with that. So that makes people work three jobs in order to make ends meet. People are not able to afford, with having good jobs and really great salaries, they're not able to afford even just one-bedroom apartments in many of the major cities in America. So they have to get roommates, and they're making $100,000 a year. I mean, so the economy is not great. We're not doing well. The government, our government really needs to be focusing on how they can help the middle class flourish in America. The middle class is dwindling rapidly. And the poor just get poorer. But if you can't have a strong middle class and you don't have a strong nation, and our middle class is being demolished.
Now, finally, I was talking again with Rick Sanchez about this last night. Shows like yours and others like you are doing so fantastically well that the, let's call them the kindly, the legacy media, the so-called mainstream media, are being left trailing. I mean, at the top of our tree, yours and mine, the top of our tree, Tucker Carlson is turning in viewer figures that, you know, would be the viewer figures for a year for most mainstream television hosts. Your numbers, my numbers, they're all up and up and up and up. What does that tell us about the future of so-called mainstream media?
Well, it tells us that people are no longer buying the propaganda, and that they realize, more importantly, they realize they're being propagandized. They realize that the news organizations are not actually reporting on news. They're reporting on what the powers that be want to have reported. And that has become, especially in this country right now, for, you know, I'm not sure what's going on in your country, but here it's becoming more blatantly obvious. When you've got organizations like the New York Times, for example, doing an investigation to find out who leaked the latest batch of Pentagon documents, and then finding out who that is and turning that person's name into the authorities. The journalists were doing that.
Wow.
That is just going to show that the mainstream media has turned into the henchmen of the elites. When you've got CNN and Fox News saying the same exact things about the pandemic, fear-mongering everybody, even when it was completely against the science that we were seeing coming out, people are waking up to this. People are waking up to the all of the talking points, the endless support for Ukraine, when the people were not supporting it. People are starting to wake up to this. These people in the media are not representing, and they're not fairly, even if they don't represent, that's okay. They don't have to represent anybody, but they should just report facts. They should report the news, and they don't. And so people are flocking to places where they're actually getting a person, they can listen to that person and know that person is telling them the truth, the straight up truth, not sugarcoated. You certainly don't sugarcoat anything. And that's what people are wanting. They're wanting the straight up truth. And they're getting that in independent sources.
The mainstream media have become the henchmen of the elite. That's a zinger that will live, Kim. And believe me, I know a zinger when I hear one. How do people follow the Kim Iverson Show?
You could watch The Kim Iverson Show Monday through Friday at, what time is it? It's, well, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. I'm not sure what time that is for you guys over there. But it's on Rumble, exclusively on Rumble.
Fantastic. Kim Iverson, it's a pleasure, as always, to interview you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the Mother of All Talk Shows. Last call, then, is from James in Florida. James, what would you like to talk about?
Hello, George. Congratulations on your tremendous victory. And it's an honor to speak to you, sir.
Thank you so much, sir.
My question was, in your tremendous victory, the man that came in second, are you at all going to be joining forces with him?
I hope so. We've asked him to put up candidates for the local council elections on the 2nd of May. That we can support and encourage others to support them. So far, it seems that he doesn't intend to stand in any further elections, nor put up candidates himself to do so. But we're working on it, James. He calls himself Forrest Gump. He was the Forrest Gump candidate, and he did fantastically well. And both of us beat the pants off the government and all the main opposition parties in Britain, getting almost two-thirds of the vote, which is truly something. Thanks, James. Norma, the legend, is the last call on the Royals. Norma in Bristol, welcome.
Hello, George. I enjoyed your maiden speech, thought it was great. But now, this is about David Clewes. Yeah, it was lovely. I enjoyed it. I got a bit of a cough. David Clewes, I wasn't very, I felt a bit uncomfortable about what he was saying about Kate. And I know that we haven't heard much or anything since Christmas, or we haven't heard about Charles much. But I think he was a bit sensationalising, because he actually said, one, she might be dead, two, she might be in a coma, or three, she might have walked out. Now, I mean, we should hear some facts. We should hear soon, because we'll all speculate. But I think he was a bit over the top, George.
Well, of course, he's been accused of being a bit over the top before on things and turned out to be entirely correct. So he's a journalist. He's entitled to speculate. We all are. Of course, these three outcomes are three of the possible outcomes. God forbid it's one or two. But if it's number three and she has down tools within the royal family, that too is extraordinarily significant. But the point is, Norma, we have to speculate because we're not being told anything. And in a democracy, a constitutional monarchy, they call it, you can't keep parliament and people in the dark about the life and death of the monarch and his family. But Norma, thank you for that. You're always on the side of decency and compassion. I think it's been a great show tonight, a bit different to our normal show. We don't normally spend time talking about the British royal family, and only do so because, well, this is a very interesting turn of events. But I'll be back on Sunday with the mother of all talk shows, God willing. And it's at 7 o'clock London time. Make sure, with changes of time in the United States, that you get the timings right. 7 p.m. UK next Sunday. Mother of all talk shows. Good night.